I appreciate that prayer, Brother Larry, and I certainly need your prayers. I'm greatly in need of prayer always, but I feel today to be especially unworthy to worship with you. I'd ask that you turn with me over to Proverbs. We'll look at Proverbs chapter 4. We've heard a lot today about our Savior and about the salvation that we have, and that is something that I take great comfort from. And I'm so thankful to know that Jesus saved His people from their sins. Jesus saved me, and I take great comfort to know that. What do I do in the meantime? Because we know that you're saved for heaven, but now we ought to live like that. And that's where I find to where I have some of the most problems in my life, is that I know in theory, I know in my mind that the Lord has saved me for heaven. But the problem is that I don't live that way. I live as if I don't have hope sometimes. And I live as if I'm discouraged and down and out. But I want to talk to you about that. Let's go to Proverbs 4, and we'll look at verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." Notice this. This is Solomon writing to his son, writing for instruction. And I can't help but think as I read this, you know, Solomon didn't really heed his own words. You know, because he went on through the rest of his life to live it out and to find what he could fulfill himself with in this life, which is a dangerous place to be, because there are so many things out there that will promise that it will fill the void in your heart, right? That it'll give you happiness, and nothing apart from God can fulfill you. And Solomon tried to find it, and even though he was the wisest person, apparently, he couldn't find it. He said, "All is vanity under the sun." But nonetheless, this is his instruction to his son. Also keep this in mind as you're reading through Proverbs. This isn't just to the world. This is to his son. This is the message to us as children of God to live right, to do better. And so it says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So this is an instruction for how to live your life, how to serve the Lord in time. And what I want to specifically look at is verse 23. He says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The Lord gives us a picture here, an image of your heart as a fountain. And out of that fountain flow all the things of life, all the issues. It issues forth out of your heart. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen what we call artesian well. It's a point in the earth where the water just bubbles out of the ground. It's a beautiful thing. It's amazing to go and drink the water from that. A lot of farmers that have one of those on their property will use that to water their livestock or their crops. But I want you to imagine if that little well were to get contaminated, right? If somebody were to drop some poison in it or some arsenic or any number of things into that source of that water, what would happen? Everything, all of the issues out of that, all of the water that would come out of that well would be contaminated. And that says, that's what your heart is like. And that gets to me. Because I know that I don't guard my heart. I don't keep it, maintain it like I'm supposed to. Let's go over to Matthew, the book of Matthew. Matthew in chapter 12. in verse 34, Jesus himself is teaching on this same idea. And he preaches here. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So the things that you say, even the things that you think and you don't quite verbalize yet, those are coming from your heart, overflowing out of the abundance of your heart. Have you found yourself to be maybe bitter, maybe be a little short with people, be a little agitated, and you let that slip out of your mouth? Some have problems with allowing cursing to come out. Well, there's a lot more that you can say other than just what we call curse words that are dishonoring to the Lord. As a matter of fact, in the Bible it says evil communications corrupt good manners. It's not just specific words that we have said is a bad word. It could be anything. It could be anything. I've gotten frustrated with people before at work. I've gotten frustrated with my wife before. All of those things that I let slip out are sins. And it reveals to me what have I been putting in my heart? What have I been allowing to grow up in there? And it bubbles out. Let's go to Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 7. And we'll look at, verse 12. Mark 7 and verse 20. Mark 7, verse 20, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." So they're talking to Jesus about what people eat, the things that they eat. And he says to them, it's not what you put in yourself that defiles you, it's what comes out. Verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." These are things that flow out of your heart. And this is what shows me when I have these things come out of me, I begin to realize how really wicked my heart is, how deceitful it is, and how I can't trust it. Now, there's a part of my heart, obviously, that the Lord has given me that can't sin. And I wish that that was the only part that I had left. But yet still, when you're born again, you still have this old nature. So it's not all sunshine and roses after you're born again. That's actually when the battle begins. That's when you begin to struggle with yourself. And you may ask me, why are you trying to preach this message at a meeting? Because I'll be honest with you, I wrestled with whether to go with this. I thought maybe we should do a normal meeting message, you know. But the truth is that it's in these times when we need to remember this. Because when you're in the midst of temptation, it's too late. It's too late to start guarding your heart and keeping your heart. Just ask David. When he was on his rooftop, when all of the kings were should have been out to war, he should have been doing things to guard his heart, to keep his heart. But what did he do? He didn't pay any attention to that because he's the king. He can stay at home if he wants to. And he's on his housetop, and he looks down and he sees the woman. And it was already too late at that point. It was too late for him. Because then all of a sudden, what happens? Then he starts having these powerful feelings. His emotions take over because of what he had seen. So in the midst of temptation, it's too late to start prepping for having your heart ready to serve the Lord in the midst of it. Let's go to Matthew again. Matthew 22. And we'll look at verse 37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Isn't that great? The Lord Himself, the lawmaker, He comes and He simplifies the law for us. He said, it's all summed up in this. You love God with everything that you have, with your whole heart, with all the strength that you have, with all your mind. And then He says, and the second is just like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you think about that, if you want to group the Ten Commandments, they're all grouped into the category of either loving the Lord better or loving your neighbors better. You know? And this gets to me. This gets to me because I can tell you that today, even, I have slipped on this. That I love this world sometimes. Even though this world's not good to me, I still find myself wanting to find fulfillment in this life. But yet, if I were to just love the Lord with all I have, it would be so much better, right? Let's go over to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 19. Jesus says, in a very similar message, He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Have you ever found yourself getting very disappointed with the way things have gone in this life? I know I find myself like that almost daily. And you know why? It's because I have put some value in this world. And the world can't hold up my worship, right? Nothing can hold up your worship but God. And that's why everything will disappoint you. You know, even if you worship one of your brothers and sisters in the church, they will disappoint you. And I've got a good test for you. To ask yourself, to determine where your treasure is. Now, the Lord tells us that our treasure ought to be in heaven. That we ought to be laying up treasures in heaven. And not, I want us to be clear on this. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be storerooms of treasures that you have laid up and that we can all compare our trophies with one another. No, Jesus Christ Himself will be the treasure in heaven. But what this is talking about is right now, while you're walking in this life, your treasure can be in heaven. Instead of building up storehouses here and your 401k here and all those sorts of things that will burn up, you can lay up your treasure in heaven. Okay, so your test here is I want you to ask yourself, do you want the Lord to come back now, or do you want Him to wait a little bit? I know that sounds pretty simple, but there have been many times in my life where I've said, I mean, it would be nice, Lord, if You came back, but just give me a little time. I want to get married. Give me a little time. I want to have children. And that tells me where my treasure is, right? My treasure is in this life when I feel that way. But there are those times when regardless of what things I'm looking forward to, I say, Lord, come quickly. Mm-hmm. Now that's when I know that my treasure's in heaven. Yeah. And that's where you ought to be. You can enjoy this life. The Lord expects His children to be a joyful people, mm-hmm. right? You can enjoy things here, but we ought to always be ready to be with Him in glory, to see Him. All right, let's go over to John 14, and I'm going to wrap it up. John chapter 14. I know what it's like to be at an afternoon service. I've been there. You just got through eating, and you're tired. And so I'm going to try to be good to you and get on down there. I can't speak for Brother Rusty now. He may take his time, okay, but I'm going to try to be quick so that he'll have all the time he needs. John 14, And before we close out with this passage, I just want us to be considering, I want you to look at your heart. Stop looking at your heart as if it is the victim, that it's the victim of everything around you. You know, I bet if you were to pause and to ask David, right after he saw the woman bathing on the roof and before he commanded his servants to go get her, I bet you could ask him and say, you know, what are you feeling right now? Is this really what you should be doing? I bet that he would push you away. You know, I bet he would say, I'm a victim here. I have seen this beautiful woman and she has affected my heart so much. And people out there in the world will say, well, just follow your heart. Go out there. If you no longer feel that loving feeling in your marriage, then maybe you just need to just go follow your heart and find it somewhere. Right? That's what they'll tell you. And that's what the movies show. But that's not how it works, okay? Your heart is not the victim, okay? Your heart is a wicked thing. And so I want us to start thinking about our hearts instead of how the world teaches us as this victim that has all these deep feelings. Those feelings are deep, but I want us to remember this. Your heart is a fountain, okay? It is a fountain. If you want another metaphor, your heart is a garden, okay? And it's up to you to tend that and to keep the weeds out, right? And if those roots of bitterness start to grow, it doesn't just affect that person that you're bitter with. It affects every relationship you have because it flows out of that. You know, if we were to take the chicken houses, the Brother Chris and Brother Tim McCool have chicken houses on the farm. If we were to take the water source that was watering those chickens and that was contaminated, it doesn't affect one chicken. It affects every single chicken that drinks that water, right? That's what your heart is like. It is a dangerous, deadly thing. But also says, Jesus just told us that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If my treasure is in heaven, that's where my heart is. And that's where the streams, the issues of life are going to be flowing out of. Now, wouldn't you much rather be drinking water flowing out of heaven than you would be water flowing out of your filthy little heart? Yeah. Right? I know I would. And I know for the sake of all the people around me that I love so dearly, I want to be pouring into their lives those good things from heaven and not this bitter water of this world. And that is so often where I find my heart. And the last thing, John 14, Jesus tells us here, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. They're already there. He says, there are mansions there. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus knows us. God knows our frame. He knows how feeble we are. He knows our heart and how our heart is subject to such powerful emotions, fear. This troubling that he's addressing here. Also hatred and love and these great emotions that you can get so confused about. And that's one of the reasons I believe Brother Chris was preaching this morning, that we don't have to look here and try to figure out what's going on in every single situation. We need to look up at God because He is the only one greater than our situation. And if you're trying to look and find out what your heart is telling you to do, you're going to get even more confused. And when you're thinking about what job to take or what school to go to or who to be with and what church to go to, all of these things, and you're looking into your heart, you can get so confused. But we need to look up to God. And Jesus tells us here, let not your heart be troubled. He knows that in this life, you will suffer persecution. In this life, that you will suffer many things. And just imagine he is talking to these people who have been walking with him, and he knows what's coming. He knows that he is about to be taken from them, and he is about to give himself for us on the cross, to offer himself to God for our benefit. And so he knows that's going to be troubling to them. But he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, for I go to prepare a way for you, to prepare a place for you." And he does that through the cross. He goes and he dies on the cross, and he secures our place in heaven. So in the meantime, child of God, I want you to be encouraged to let not your heart be deceived. Let not your heart be troubled. We will be there with him in glory because of his work. But in the meantime, I want you to guard your heart, to keep it, because you could be such a great blessing to others, or you could be a curse to others by what you allow to come out of your heart. Okay?